This show was recorded a couple of days ago, but we just learned this morning about the passing of Darlene Osteen on October 22. So I wanted to say a few words about one of the needlework world's iconic designers, historians, and educators. Through her company, The Needle's Praise, she created more than 80 samplers and wrote 3 books. For me, the standout is the Queen Sampler, which I'm going to finish someday, followed closely by the English White Work Sampler. Those two designs offer significant sophistication and stitch variety and present a healthy challenge to any needleworker. But for people like Darlene, it's not the designs. Those usually live on in some form, in this case through Needlework Press. The real loss is the knowledge and education. I've never met her, but I own her most famous book, The Proper Stitch, and from it can glean a sense of what a tremendous educator she must have been. I have no doubt that the countless people who were able to attend her presentations or even have a casual conversation with Darlene walked away much richer in needlework knowledge. Writing in her introduction to The Proper Stitch in 1994, Darlene said, "Learning how to properly execute different stitches adds a new realm to the stitcher's creativity. By working added stitches in a multitude of combinations, a stitcher can create her own masterpiece with additional texture and depth, and give otherwise plain embroidery a rich sophistication. My love of embroidery and love of history goes back to my teen years. The visual appearance of samplers drew me to them, but it is the stitches used to create the samplers that have influenced me." Rest in peace, Darlene, and thank you for the huge contribution you made to the hobby we love. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Yay. And let's see. Tonight, we have our Stitch Hour. So join us tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the YouTube channel. Stitch Hour. We talk about stitching. And if you're interested in being a guest on the Stitch Hours, let me know, Gary@WeTalkFiber.com. It's pretty simple to do. You send some pictures of your work, and I put them up on the screen, and we talk about them, and people in the audience ask questions or simply ooh and ah over your work, and it's fun. So
yeah,
and people, I'm not good enough. Hey, we're all good enough. Just show your stuff, talk about what you experienced doing it. It's minimal effort on your part, and you just get to show off some of your work. So let me know.
Yep.
Jennifer did it. It was fun.
Yep. It's always fun.
Yep.
So, like to show our stuff.
Yeah. And you know, obviously the bulk of it needlework, but we've had people show knitting and other things too. And so a little variety never hurt anybody. So if you're interested, let us know. So that's tonight. Then Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel, we do the fourth meditative stitching show, and join us for that. The crowd was kind of small this week, but enthusiastic, and so join us. It's just an hour. We do it. We confine it to an hour, and if you're sitting there stitching on a Sunday anyway, sign on to YouTube and join us. And we've learned some stretching exercises for stitchers, which have been very helpful.
Yeah.
Some breathing exercises, also helpful. And then we do some meditative stitching, and then we take a second session of stitching and just chat and exchange thoughts with the audience and amongst the three of us. So a lot of fun. It's a quick hour, goes by fast. So join us and part of it. Yeah. That, cause Deb DeCray, now Sherry Berger, the Colorado cross stitcher, taught us the stretching exercises.
Right.
And, she did that 2 weeks, and then Deb DeCray, taught us some breathing exercises. And so now, and I didn't want to bother Sherry every week. So, you know, we appreciate what she did, and she's going to be back and do a Wednesday show with us. Soon,
nice.
Which, yeah, looking forward to that. But so Deb DeCray this week just did both, did Sherry's exercises and did the breathing exercises that come from her yoga teaching. But that, you know, I commented on the show, the hand stretching exercises that Sherry taught us, for me, have been the real plus out of those efforts, because I sit at a keyboard all day long, and if I'm not doing that, I'm stitching and or, you know, doing other things with my hands. But it's always your hands getting closed around something.
Right.
And these stretching exercises that open up your hands and move your wrists around, I'm incorporating those in my efforts, because it's just been, I think, a real plus. I've really gotten something out of that. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I like doing it, especially the one where you stretch your hands out and really open up all your fingers wide and stuff.
Yeah.
That one. And then the one where you touch your thumb to each individual finger.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one that I hadn't ever really done before. And, yeah, I really like that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't realize how your hands just kind of get in the same form mm-hmm. all the time until you do something like that. Yeah.
Right. And you ride your bike too, which right. means That's, your hands yeah. are really gripping.
Right. For hours. You
know? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So you yeah. really need it.
Well, and that's just it is, cause yeah, I mean, I'll sit on my bike, ride my bike for 2 hours, 3 hours. And so your hands really don't, I mean, you move them around. Obviously, you move your hands around, but they're still always wrapped around something. And,
right.
The first time that Sherry did that, and you know, open your hands and splay your fingers out. Yeah, it's like, whoa, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yep. You know, and it's varying degrees of close, too, because like around a needle versus a bike handlebar versus a keyboard, or, you know, if you're doing woodwork. You know, it's different kinds of things, but it's still some variation of partially closed.
Yeah.
And
well, even writing, I haven't written with like a pen or pencil in a long time because I don't have a job where I need to sit down and write stuff down.
Yeah.
And I type. So then when I do sit down and I try to write, my hand gets cramped fast.
Yep.
My handwriting is terrible now. I used to have nice handwriting, and now my handwriting is atrocious. Like, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. Well, but you're dead right. And then your hand gets tired faster and your writing gets sloppy.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. Cause, and I think that's in general, everybody has that where, mm-hmm. you just don't write much. Like I used to have, I'm left-handed. So on the side of my middle finger, I used to have a pretty good callus cause I used to write all the time making notes
yeah.
and things. I don't do that hardly at all anymore. That callus is gone. And I have the same experience when I write. Is, my hand gets fatigued. And a drawback when I think it was our 10th anniversary, I'm a pen snob. I hate cheap pens. You know, I'm a pen snob. And mm-hmm. I think it was our 10th anniversary. Marga bought me a Mont Blanc fountain pen.
Oh, nice.
Love that thing. Yeah. And I mm-hmm. still have it today. I mean, it's old now in relative terms, it's old. And I love that pen. I love writing with it. But, you know, I got to the point where I was doing so little writing with it because I just didn't have a need to that I finally cleaned out the ink because the ink would evaporate out. And I just cleaned it all out and it sits there on my desk dry because, I mean, it was getting to the point where I was using it so infrequently that the ink would dry in the nib or it would just evaporate out. And, you know, that's not good for it. So,
right.
And so now I haven't written with that in some time. And I feel bad about it cause I love that pen, but I just don't have cause to write on paper.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was studying in university, when you had to memorize definitions
mm-hmm.
or if, you know, the textbook, they would have certain things highlighted. The way I would study is I would go and get my notebook and I would write down that definition and I would write it out and I would do it. And I would do like the first, I'd do one in blue and then I do one in black ink and then I do one in red ink and you alternate like that. And then when you study, you don't always start and stop on the same page.
Right.
You flip a couple pages so that the middle section, you know, cause when you study, a lot of times you remember the beginning and the end and you lose the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always switching it up and like, the one year that I did that like really well and really religiously, I got straight A's and I took 21 hours. and like I aced everything. But I did so much writing by hand that I too had that little callus that you get on one of your fingers, and you know, and I went through pens like crazy. I love school supplies.
Yeah, no, I remember, yeah, how fast you could write for how a long time.
Yeah, and it looked good too. Now I write fast. I can't even read it 5 minutes later. And it's
So those have
like,
been so in the Meditate Show, that has been fun in addition to just doing meditative stitching. That I've just enjoyed that. Just that, and I did it this past Sunday after the show. I'm working on the Avlia basket weave thing, and I just kept stitching on it right on through because I watched the football games and right into the evening football game. I just kept going. And that meditative stitching is nice. I mean, you don't have to think, you don't have to count, you just go. And
Yeah,
yeah.
it is nice. And then you can get a nice, pretty, useful item for your house if that's what you're doing it for, if you're making something.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to see how your stool comes out.
I know, like I'm working on it right now as we chat
All
because
right.
I don't have to look at a pattern and I can keep my hands busy.
Right, yep. So
But
join us on Sundays, every Sunday now, till through the weekend before Thanksgiving. It's a 7 week thing, and we've done three of them, so four
Yep.
more left. So join us. It's for the hour. It's fun. And
That's
then
nice.
Monday Hearts, FT Monday Hearts is the hashtag. So on Mondays, remember to post pictures of your heart or heart related stitching. We're not doing, there's no show with
Yes.
it. It's just to post them. So
Right.
you have
Or
that wedding thing done yet?
yeah, no, cuz
Okay.
last time my heart really wanted to work on this other project.
Okay.
So I did the other project, but I did post in the Fiber Talk Monday Hearts hashtag, and I said that my heart wanted to work on my sunflower project.
I saw
So,
that, yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
That was a lame out, but okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, of course I should talk. I mean, I stitched all night Monday night. Last week, and then forgot to post the picture. So
Oh my gosh, it's funny.
we'll have one for sure. Yeah, have one. Well, I did post. That was 2 weeks ago, so I did post Monday night. So update on
Right.
the Gay Ann Rogers thing. Yep. So do that, and
Yep.
of course we're still doing the Royal Garden and From Dawn to Dusk. Some of us, namely Jennifer, doing more than I am, but
Yeah, I need to get back to that one. The Dawn to
yep.
Dusk is sitting here looking at me, going, "Hi,
Yeah.
remember me?"
Yeah,
But
you
I've
were
had a
flying for a
couple of,
while.
yeah. And then, well, then we started this meditating thing. So I started working on that. And then I really wanted those Mill Hill pumpkins, the kits
Yeah.
with the beads.
Yeah, what's the
So,
deal with those? You bought a whole bunch of those. You
yeah,
just
I
have
bought
a,
like five because they're
yeah.
so cute. I saw them earlier this year in a magazine. I was like, oh my gosh, those are so cute. And, you know, I've seen other Mill Hill kits and stuff and they're cute, but these ones I had to have. It's just something about them.
Okay. So do you
And
have
I
them all
tried.
done?
No. So I
Oh.
have one finished. I have
Oh,
the
well.
first one finished. It's the one called Autumn Pumpkin. And I've got it, you know, they give you the perforated paper and all that.
Yeah.
So I finished the first one, but there's still tons of floss left over and tons of beads left over. So I am now stitching it on 32 count linen over two because I want to see the difference between it done on the perforated paper versus on linen or soft fabric or whatever. And what I want to do, so my plan is I want to take the linen one and I actually want to make a round little pumpkin. So, you know, I'll have to make, you know, when you sew something that's kind of round or circular, it's really kind of like orange wedges that are sewed together. So I'll have to make some little orange wedgy things. And I'll probably have to do some extra stitching around the outside so that when I sew it, it'll fill in any of the white linen part. And I'll sew it by hand. And then the stem, because the stem sticks up, so I'm going to make it flush. I'm not going to do the curly part of the stem. I'll do some of the green. And then I might try to do some sort of a beaded thing for the stem. Like I have done knitting with beads before. Where if you just knit in stockinette and on the purl side you put the beads on, it curls in on itself. And so it makes like a circular thing. You don't have to make it that way. It just does it. So I might try that. I'm not sure, but I want to try one and see.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it comes out.
I know.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I know when you
that's
bought
what
all
I'm.
those and you posted that you bought them, I went, whoa, Jennifer.
Well,
Locked in on that.
I couldn't buy just one. You had to get them all.
Because they're not very big, are they? Just 4 or 5 inches?
No, not even that big. They're like 2 and some change by 3.
Oh,
Like they're
okay.
small.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're real small ornament sized. So they're little.
It'll be
And then, of
interesting to
course,
see what
the.
you do with them.
Yeah, so I'm real curious how this one's going to turn out. So I'm really working on finishing that. So my heart will be working on that on Monday too. So,
You're
or
okay.
worked on that on Monday,
Okay.
whatever.
Okay.
Because I want to get it done.
All right.
Sometimes I get something in my head that I just really want to, and everything else ceases to exist. And it's like, I focus on that.
Okay.
Like
All
with the
right.
Paul Avon, I got that August Paul Avon finished.
Yep, you did.
Because we talked about Paul Avon, and then it was just like it was in my head, and I was so close to being done that I sat down and I did nothing but Paul Avon until I got it done.
Yeah, those are beautiful. Yeah.
So, yes,
Yep.
I have 4 more to go.
Well, all right, let's go. Get them done
I
by
know.
yeah. But the wedding thing now, of course, your anniversary is coming up, so no pressure.
Yes. Well, I've got a few more Mondays left.
Okay. All
And
right.
there's not much left to do.
Yeah. Those are famous last
So,
words. Yeah.
I know, right?
How many people have sung that song? Yep.
Oh, yes. Me, many times.
Yep. So yeah, so the Monday Hearts, and then now November 4, it's tentative, but I'm pretty sure it'll happen. We'll be back with April from the Embroiderers Guild Galleries in Sydney, Australia, for the next Gallery 76 tour, and that is supposed to be Indian textiles.
Oh,
So
nice.
I'm looking forward to that, and we're try the plan is that we'll have the artist with us as we have the last couple of times, but to learn about the colors and the prints and so on and so forth in Indian textiles. So join us for that. Those are a real treat. I really appreciate April doing those, and being patient and making the
Yeah.
technology work out between
Yeah.
all the places, Australia to Illinois to you on the East Coast and Beth over
Yep.
on the other side of Illinois. So yeah, we really appreciate that. But that's coming up. That should be November 4. And all of our Wednesday shows are 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. So you
Right.
can it's pretty easy to remember. So that and then doing a lot of recording here in the next week or so. So I'm pretty excited about this, but a little hesitant here. Nicoletta Carbone from Giuliana Ricama. And that's a magazine, Italian magazine, that I think, I can equate it to Inspirations from Australia. I mean, it's as beautiful and very nice projects and top designers and so on and so forth. So going to talk to her about the magazine and then learn about the needlework world in Italy and the surrounding area. And but now the reason I'm hesitant is because we haven't recorded it yet. We have to do it through an interpreter. I've never done that. So
Okay.
yeah, so the like every time I interview somebody, I send them a sheet with questions and topics just to kind of guide the conversation. Well, this time I had to really do a formal list of questions. I couldn't just put down, a few words here and there
Oh,
just for
right.
topics. I had to actually structure it and plan it all out, because the translator needs to know, and they're trying to work it out on their end.
Right.
But I'm
I'm
most
sure it'll be
curious.
fine.
Yeah. And the cool
Yeah.
the reason well, I want to do it because I've been wanting to do learn more about the Italian world of needlework, but also Giuliana Ricama. A magazine now has an English version, English
Nice.
language version. So you can, and I've subscribed to it, of course. Why not?
Okay, yes.
But so and that's a new thing for them. So I wanted to learn more about the magazine so that people who might be interested in the English version would have a sense of what it is and how it works. So, right. So that's coming up. And then another one, Andrea Cabral, who her design business is Black Cat Creative Studio, and she's in Maia, Portugal. So it's on the coast, the northern coast of Portugal, and she does some fascinating embroidery, very different. So going to have her coming up, and so that'll be fun. And then we'll be back with the second show with Stephanie Bonneau from England, where we talk about her experiences and what it's like in the world of haute couture, however you say that, high fashion. Couture. High fashion and all those big fancy shows with all the big design houses. So we'll get to learn, that's part two, because we just had Stephanie a couple weeks ago. So part two of that, to learn about that. So that's coming up. And then Sunday's guest will be Jan Hicks, Jan Hicks Creates. And that's cross-stitch and full-coverage cross-stitch. And yeah, very, very interesting. Wow. Yep, she's pretty neat. So lots of good stuff coming up here. Good guests coming up. Yep.
Jan Hicks, you said, right?
Yep.
Jan Hicks. I follow her on Instagram.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I've seen her, and I've seen a few of her YouTubes, too.
Yeah, she does a nice job with those, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that's coming up. Dana Batho from Peacock and Fig.
Mm-hmm, I remember her interview. Yeah. That was excellent.
Military veteran, Canadian military veteran, and she stitches a lot of her stitching lying down because of a shoulder neck injury. But it's a fascinating story. Look that up. Dana Batho, Batho. Peacock and Fig. It's a good story, quite a story about her. And a designer, has her own business, so on and so forth. She posted on Monday, she posted on Instagram a piece. She was mad. She was mad. But she's right. But she had been contacted, and this really hit home for me too. She had been contacted by a magazine to contribute one of her designs.
Mm-hmm.
And the contribution was, or the compensation was, fame and glory, you know, for the exposure. And she did a rant that basically, she said it, you know, it's insulting to me as an artist that's the extent of the value. And that you should pay artists for helping you deliver editorial content to people that are paying for your magazine. And she's dead right. And she went on a little rant about it and how, you know, exposure is not compensation. It's insulting. And she even said if you weren't writing to women as designers, if it was men, you wouldn't even think about it. And there's probably some truth to that too, sadly. But she, you know, she just made a really good point, and I remember DMC not too long ago was asking for people to contribute designs that they would put on their website, asking for designers, and there was quite a bit of heat sent back their way about you should pay, you should pay your pay designers, and a lot of people refused to contribute because they wanted, you know, it was for the fame and glory thing, and. And they're right. You know, these artists create art and they should be compensated for it. If you want it bad enough, they should be compensated. And Dana's spot on. And what really hit home for me is, see, that's what happened in the photography world. Mm-hmm. And these days, to be a professional photographer, particularly an art photographer, you know, where you're not photographing a wedding or something. You know, you're doing a beautiful sunrise or horses running or, you know, any of those kinds of things. That kind of photography where if I'm a magazine and I'm doing I'll just use horses. I'm doing an article on horses, say wild horses, and I need a beautiful photo for the opening spread of wild horses running. You know, magazines are not willing to pay as much or at all because that's too easy to find people who will do it for fame and glory. You know, I happened to be on a trip, took this really nice picture, and if you'll put my name in the magazine, you can have the photo.
Right.
And so it did a lot of damage to the professional photographer world, a lot of damage in terms of people being able to make a career of it. And because everybody has a phone, everybody's a photographer these days. And you know, the end result is it lowers the bar for what is considered good photography or excellent photography, because you pretty soon you start seeing substandard imagery, and that becomes accepted as good. And Dana is right. You know, these magazines, you need to pay for the artwork. And you ask somebody to create a design and put all the instructions together, stitch up a model, do the photography, and then, well, yeah, but I'm giving you exposure.
Right.
Well, no, you're not. No, that doesn't pay, you know. It doesn't, I've got expenses.
You can get your own free exposure on Instagram and Facebook if you want.
Right.
And
there's real expenses behind creating art.
Mm-hmm.
And people always, you know, think, well, discount your time. Sorry. Mm-hmm. No, time, you know, time is valuable. Time is, it requires money compensation. And so I thought it was a good post. She did a nice job. I mean, she was blunt and she didn't mince any words, but just a good post about if you know, particularly magazines, but anybody who is making money off your artwork, you need to be compensated. You need to be compensated.
Right.
And you're just a good point. Just a good point. And,
I briefly tried to sell things that I made. I briefly tried it. And my goodness, the amount, the expense of the business license and having to keep up with the paperwork all the time, and then just your supplies, your margin of profit is so minuscule, unless you're buying in gigantic bulk, which if you're a hobbyist, you're not going to do that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You make no profit, let alone your time. I mean, you know, and that was a very brief little venture that I tried. It lasted 10 seconds and then I was over it.
I'm like, out of this. Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. Anybody that says, why don't you try selling it? It's like, well, you start doing it and you make some stuff and then you tell me how much you're willing and I'll tell you how much people will pay for it too. And it's nothing.
Yep.
You're going to pay more for your ball of yarn than you are.
Yep.
And they're going to want to pay you, you know?
Yep.
It's yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to want to do it. You got to want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why when we do these shows with guests, you know, you're encouraged. Now you're encouraged to, support them, you know, and we say that a lot. Support them, support the stores, buy their charts, buy the kits from stores. Because we want these people to stay in business and, I take the time you and I and Beth, we take the time to put these shows together and, the economic part of it is support these people, we're telling you a little bit about them in a show, get to learn more about them, learn what's behind those designs. Hopefully they'll have more meaning to you, but go, you know, buy their designs if you like them. Support them, share them with others. You know, don't share the designs, make people buy their own, but
like
tell people about them, you know?
Right. Share in the way of, look what I bought. You should go get it too.
Yep.
So
stitch them.
And that's what I love about the interviews with the designers and stuff is you learn about their process and what inspires them. And it makes you're just like, wow, that is amazing. And I am going to go support you and buy something of yours now because I know more about you.
Yeah.
It really, it's part of it, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Support these people and support our sponsors. Please, please tell them Fiber Talk sent you because it's how it works.
Like, sometimes, you know, I joined the EGA and it's like, how did you hear about us? I put down an other, I put Fiber Talk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know.
Yep. It's how it works. It's like everything else.
You are
else.
The first one that I heard talking about it a lot.
Really?
Previous. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yep. Yeah. And join EGA. You know, I encourage you to enjoy EGA. I'm glad I joined. I'm not a joiner, but I'm glad I joined the EGA. Yeah. So anyway, a good one from Dana Batho, Peacock and Fig, and go to Peacock and Fig and check her out. She has some creative stuff, and listen to that podcast and learn more about her.
Yeah, she has really good.
Interesting story. And she's fun to follow. Dana and her dog, I forget her dog's name, but she's fun one to follow. So check that out. But Dana firing off a good rant there. That was excellent.
Yes.
Yep. So, yep. The question of the day, I think, can you work in a mess?
No.
Okay. All right. That'll end this day's subject.
Well, it's like, how big is the mess? There is a point when my organized clutter becomes too much, and then I have to really clean it up and put it away so then I can function again.
Yes.
But I'm one of those people that I cannot have my threads of any kind. I don't care what it is. It can't be just laying around all higgledy-piggledy, looping together and smushed on a board no, I cannot do that. They have to be tidied away before I get out the new one. I have to tidy away the old one just so. Yeah.
Yep. Now see,
I'm like that.
and my answer to that is, if you look at my work table and area, which some of it you see in the background on live shows, it looks like a mess. Most of the storage is a mess because I've yet to figure out a neat way to store a lot of that stuff. But that's all stored away. But my table, it goes through cycles. I went through, it was like a month ago, and this question came up, and I looked at my table. Doggone it, a month ago, I had, other than my basket of active threads, I had a cleaned-off table.
Right.
And there's something about that left side of the table, which is up against the shelves that I store stuff in. I have no idea why that will not stay cleaned off. But right now, it's a pile of stuff. And when I was stitching last night, some of the stuff slid down. It's like, come on. So now I have to take time, and I have to get that cleaned up again and organized. I do not know why. But I have kept the other two-thirds of the table open. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Because that's where you put stuff that you like, maybe you just got it maybe, and you want to look at it again, or you want to talk about it. So you don't want to forget about it. So you put it in the spot.
Right.
And then it just becomes this overwhelming heap, because I have one of those too.
I don't know what that is. Because, you know, you're right. And part of it is I get stuff out for live shows. Uh-huh. And then I need to, and I've been really trying to put everything back when I'm done.
Right.
Now it's just a mess again. It's like, geez, come on. Because, you got to have space. You got to have space, empty space when you're working on something. Like you said, put the threads out so you can get to them, so you're not spending time shuffling through piles of stuff. Uh-huh. And, it's your tools, scissors and laying tools and other things. Shouldn't have to move three things to get to the laying tool. It should just be right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. Yeah. And so, like, my dining room, normally, I really try to keep everything sequestered away. But now, like, my whole house is, it's a bomb went off. A stitching bomb went off in my house. And my husband's just like, he doesn't even notice anymore. He just rolls his eyes and squeezes by because he can't even walk through the little walkway area because my stand is here. And it's all squished. And I turned the cat post, since the cats don't use it, I've turned it into part of my stitching stand area too.
Uh-oh. Now it's even affecting the cats. Okay. This is not good.
I mean, well, they only use the little doghouse part in the bottom. They don't use the top. So I'm like, well, I'll use the top then because I need it. There you go. I don't have enough room. But like in my sewing room, my sewing table, I have like a card table size table, but it's sturdier than that. But I have that in my sewing room. That's my cutting table. But it always ends up being the resting place for new charts that come in, or you know, something. It's like, okay, you need to put it away, but I'll just put it here for now and I'll put it away in a couple days. Well, then it just, you keep doing that and you have this huge mountain, and then it takes a whole day to go through it all, put it back where it belongs. Whereas if you just did it at the beginning, it wouldn't be a problem, but I just can't seem to do that.
So you have a, I mean, let's back up the truck a little bit. You have a room dedicated to sewing.
I do.
But your stitching won't fit in it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now. I'm feeling, yeah, pretty good now because I have one area and I'm all contained in that area. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Because you're a sad case. Right? I'm just going to say to you, you're a sad case if you have a whole room and you can't even get in it. Okay.
Uh-huh. And like right now, Royal Garden is sitting on my sewing chair. And I've got the rest of the threads in from Sassy Jack's, okay, which are in the middle of my cutting table.
Okay, so you don't even have, you have to put stuff on the chair because you can't even put an active project on a surface.
Right, yes.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, right. we should do a walkthrough one day.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good now. Mm-hmm.
And
thank
that's
you.
Not even counting the basement, which is where I was doing like my finishing with the glue and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
That whole table, which I need to finish. Remember those little Christmas things I was doing, the threefold stand?
Right. Yeah.
The stand ups, and I have like two that I have to mount, and then I just have to put the decorative ribbon and stuff on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still have to do that. It's still down there. And I haven't gone down there to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you should see the little basket on my cutting table that is holding a gazillion cross-stitch pieces that need finished. But I can't get at the cutting table to, like, do the finishing because everything's on it.
Keep digging, Jennifer. I'm feeling better by the minute. Yep. Keep digging. It's
a
beautiful.
Real problem.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, but your actual stitching area, which is clearly in the way of just simple egress through the house,
yes.
Which is, you know, there's a safety issue there that we'll explore at another time. But talk about your stitching area. So you have your stand, you have a table there.
The table, okay, so the dining room table is behind me, so I turned the chair around. Well, how do I use my stand otherwise, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the dining table's behind me, and, like, all of my Dawn to Dusk stuff is at the end of it because we only use one end to eat on.
Uh-huh.
And even then, we have to move. I have, like, magazines, cross-stitch magazines, and a couple things I have to deal with, you know, piled.
Uh-huh.
And then, also, that's where I sat to sort my beads. For yeah. my pumpkin, so I've got packets of beads and little things that I'm having the beads held on all over there, too.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, I need to clean. Like, I need to tidy and put, but I keep, every day I'm switching to a different project. It's mm-hmm. like, today I'm working on this project, and then I'm working on that project, so I don't want to put it all away just to have to get it all right back out.
Right. Oh, I agree with right? that. I agree with that, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you waste and a lot of time just collecting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and since my sewing room is occupied by
everything,
other stuff. I mean, I've got this quilt that I've been working on for a bazillion years that I have the pieces are laid out in piles to be sewn together, still on my sewing table.
Uh huh.
With some books and a light box and my iron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you. Yeah, I think you need to have a come to Jesus moment here, where we.
I've already tidied it once earlier this year, and I had to buy some big old bins, like big ones, mm-hmm. to put my quilt, all of my quilt projects in.
Mm-hmm.
And oh dear, that was, I was like, wow, look at all these unfinished quilt projects you have started and in mm-hmm. various stages of completion, and I hardly ever sew anymore.
Yep.
It's bad.
Yep, that's pretty bad. Okay.
I'm a bad girl.
All right. I'm gonna be delaying my cleaning effort a couple weeks now. I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I got working space on my table. I don't have stuff. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Thank you, Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was a good reason to talk to you today. Yep. You've uplifted me. Mm-hmm.
I posted a picture on Instagram and Facebook a few weeks ago of the chaos that, like, my table, you can see all, and it's funny, in that picture, in the distance, you can see into the sewing room, and you can see the royal garden that's sitting on the chair in my sewing room, behind the other three projects that I have there. Then there's my sewing chair is right in front there, my comfy chair. And that's where I sit and use my, you know, my, not use my big stand. I can use my smaller stand or my fanny stand or stitch in hand. And that's where I'm doing the pandemic and the pumpkins. And, and then that table. So then the living room table has projects piled on it, like three or four.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's let's redefine the question. The question was, can you work in a mess? All right, clearly you can, yes. But let's redefine that. Let's just look at your immediate stitching area, okay? Now, does that just the immediate area where you have your threads and your stand, does that have to be organized and cleared out so that you...
Yes, it's tidy.
Okay.
It has to be tidy, and everything, like the threads have to remain tidy, and they can't be tangled. And like I said, before I get out a new one, I have to put the old one away.
Okay.
Because I can't have stuff just jumbled all over the place.
So that's like a demilitarized zone then.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, right. I've gotten very good at working in a mess. I think that I've just... You just don't see it anymore, you know? Yeah. It just blends into the background.
That does happen, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually the signal for me is, all right, when I have to, when I'm down to like a foot by foot square of open space that I can actually work in, okay, that, you know, that's too far. Yeah. So I don't have that right now. But the last time I had to clean up, I realized that I was moving stuff off of the table. So I was setting up for a live show. So I had to move stuff off the table to make room for the computer and the iPad so we could do the live show. And, all right, this is out of control, but I don't have to do that now. I can just set them up. You have to have an area. I think you have to have a demilitarized zone, an empty area. Cause if otherwise, if you're dragging, like you're dragging your sleeve over threads that are on top of threads, then they caught to the sleeve and on the floor they go and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that I can't do that. And I know a lot of people, I've seen them on their shows or whatever. They have their, they don't, I either put my flosses in a bag, a little floss away bag, especially I do that with my silks, but the cotton, I put all mine on those little bobbins.
Yeah.
I always have. I always have.
Yeah, I do too.
And, and now Darice used to make the bobbins and they were really good and they held stuff, but now DMC makes the bobbins, the little plastic ones, and their little openings where you're supposed to tuck the ends, they're all open. They don't hold anything.
Oh.
So I don't use those anymore. I buy the cardboard ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because the plastic ones that they make now don't work.
Hmm.
So I buy the cardboard ones, and even the overdyed flosses, I put on the things, and some of them are pre-cut, and all you do is you kind of hold the tail down and you wind it over and make it wind and hold it down, and then you start the next floss, you overlap it a little and you just wind it on, and then I carefully tear around the name of the color and of the floss so it'll fit on the card, and I wind it on, and I do that because I can't have them all laying all over the place getting a big mess.
Yep.
That doesn't work for me. And it ruins the flosses.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff, I mean, yeah, it's not silk, but it can get worn out by being touched and rubbed too much.
Yes. Yep. So. Yeah. All my DMC and the Cosmo thread that I'm using now, lovely thread, by the way, I put that on bobbins. I have it's a plastic bobbin. It's been around forever. It's a little bigger, and so I use those, and they have little slots to put the thread in, so that holds it there. So I wind those on bobbins, but silks, silks, as a rule, go on thread drops and go on a ring for each, like if it's a sampler, you know.
Okay.
Those all go, they get cut to a length and then hung on thread drops, and that works. Then, so all the colors for that sampler are on one ring. But then specialty threads, those go in floss away bags for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that just works for me. I it's kind of a mixed thing because you putting them on bobbins, everything on bobbins, there's a uniformity there. That's nice. Yeah.
Right. And then also if I'm working, so what I do when I work on a project is I have smaller, you know, I've got those big boxes that you put the flosses in, but then I have a couple smaller ones that hold fewer. Mm-hmm. So I will take all the DMCs and even the, now that I use the specialty threads, the over dyes, I get those too. And some of the things I do, like those cottages, the whole project isn't in specialty flosses. You maybe use three or four, and then the rest is DMC.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I like to be able to put them both together in the little box and not have one in bags and one loose. Like, it all needs to be stored together nice and neat.
Mm-hmm.
So my storage is nice and neat, but it's just piles of it everywhere. But it is nice and neat and organized.
Yes.
It's just piled.
Yes.
But I know where everything is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Yeah. Keep going. I'm listening. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sell it. Jennifer. Sell it.
My husband just rolls his eyes and he's like, we need a bigger house. When we get the bigger house, all of your stuff is going to stay in one part of the house and not come out. And I look at him, I'm like, seriously? You think that's going to happen?
Send me his cell phone number. I need to have a conversation with him because I need to help him. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because his little fantasy world is going to get it destroyed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, already I have, you know, I have quilts hanging on the walls and so that.
Yep.
Blankies everywhere that I've made.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to end right now with the vision we have of your sewing room, stitching area, dining room table. I think we're going to, that's where we're going to have that mental image as we go away here.
It's a mess.
Yeah. Let's just keep that in our minds. And then we'll look for the day when you post a photo where everything is pin neat. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I just don't have enough room to store everything either. I have two big cabinets downstairs that I put a lot of stuff in that we bought recently. And there's just, maybe I do a lot of crafts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Uh-huh. All right. I think with that mental image, we'll end the show right here. That's good. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, sure. Jennifer. That was fun. I feel so much better today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Me too.
Yep. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Jan Hicks, Jan Hicks Recreates, is Sunday, and join us for our live shows.